reading is from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. It is a story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. This follows immediately upon the telling of John, the death of John the Baptist, who Herod killed mostly over a grudge and after he was manipulated by his wife and stepdaughter. But John was killed, and this seemed to be certainly seemed to be distressing enough to Jesus that he was seeking to get away and to get away from the crowds that followed him in all places. However, on this story, the crowds followed him. And then we have this great story of a great miracle of the feeding of over 5,000 people. As you hear from the scripture, the last verse, there were 5,000 men, besides women and children, which would take the number, of course, much greater. Hear these words, Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages to buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you for this, your word, and as we hear it today, so may we know what it is you are seeking to tell us, seeking to grow up in us, seeking us to embolden us to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This is maybe one of Jesus' most famous miracles. It is a great miracle. It's also the only miracle that is found in all 4 Gospels. All the Gospels tell the story of Jesus a little differently. They have different stories that they tell, and certainly many stories are told in more than one Gospel. But this is the only miracle that is actually found in all of the Gospels. Outside of the resurrection itself, it's the only miracle that is in every Gospel. So therefore, that tells us that it's a pretty important miracle, that the disciples saw in it something that mattered so much that they didn't care if the others told them. They were going to tell this story as well. It is a great story. It's a story of Jesus doing something with amazing power, and yet also in a very hidden way. A story in which he shows a great compassion, and where he offers himself in a way that we are actually directly commemorating today. Story is that he's out on his teaching mission. He has actually attempted to withdraw by boat to a solitary place. They're traveling around the Sea of Galilee and stopping at various places where Jesus will teach crowds that gather wherever he goes, and he will also do healings and other miracles, displaying the fact that the kingdom of God has now come and is in their midst. But after John the Baptist is killed, and remember that John the Baptist is really a cousin of Jesus. He's not just someone who he knew through his baptism, but he probably knew him growing up. They were family. His death is a blow to Jesus. It is a sad thing. It is a victory for the forces of evil in the world. It affects him to a point where he tries to withdraw. He tries to go away to a solitary place with his disciples. And some of his disciples, as John tells us, were first disciples of John the Baptist's. And so they certainly were upset at this development as well. And so Jesus tries to go to a solitary place, but the word had gotten out that where he was going, and the crowds race around the lake, around the sea, rather than going across it, and they beat him there, and they gather there to hear him further, to have him do further miracles. And even though he was hoping to get away, it says that he had compassion on them in verse 14, and so he began to heal their sick. This went on for the entire day, and as evening was coming, it was getting late, and they were in a rather remote place. It was a solitary place that Jesus was seeking, and the disciples recommend that Jesus send the crowds away because they have no food, and they don't want them to faint on the way back to their homes. Jesus turns to them and says, they don't need to go away. In verse 16, you give them something to eat. In John, it tells us that there was a little boy there who had this food that they had. That detail is not given to us. In Matthew, the disciples simply reply that in verse 17, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus says to bring them here. He then takes that little bit, 5 loaves and 2 fish, which might be enough for a family, maybe even a large family, but would not be enough for 5,000 people. And remember, that's just the men. So they were probably pushing 15,000 people, conservatively estimated, in this one place. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and amazingly, there's enough for everybody. That's a big miracle. Imagine the disciples as they were given the task of distributing this little bit of food as they went about that responsibility. They just, as they went back to the basket that held the food, they just always found more. And they would give that out, and they would look back, and there was more. And they would give that out, and look back, and there was more. And at the end, after doing all the distribution to 15,000 people, they found that their basket was still full. And that was for them. This is quite a miracle. No wonder it would kind of stick in the minds of the disciples, and they would relate it here in the Gospels. It's a miracle of great power. And it's kind of a subtle power, really. This is a miracle that you really don't see happen. You just kind of see the effects of it. The power that is displayed here is all the greater for it. You know, sometimes we'd like to think that we can play better than the professional athletes. I mean, I don't know, it might be true in a city that has the worst team in baseball right now, but we like to think that, you know, we could hit better, we could catch better, we could throw better. You know, we kid ourselves a lot with all the professional athletes. What we don't realize is that they are professionals. And a real pro, a real master has a way of making it look easy. Remember, I used to watch Ryan Howard swing, a thing of beauty, and he made it look so simple. Of course, it wasn't, because eventually that swing stopped working. But a professional, someone who's really good at what they do, makes what they do look so easy. You think maybe you could even do it. Well, this miracle is done by a pro. You don't see it happen. There's no effort. It just seems to take place. Jesus lifts up, he takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he gives thanks, he looks up to heaven, it says in verse 19, he gives thanks, he broke the loaves, he gave it to them, and the disciples gave them to the people. And then it says they all ate and were satisfied. And somewhere in there, between 19 and 20, is the miracle itself. This miracle that looks so simple and quiet, and yet because of that, reveals itself as all the more powerful. Jesus didn't have to do anything to make this happen. It was his sheer willing it to happen. His sheer willing that there would be enough for all that made it take place. It is a miracle of tremendous power. is all the more powerful because it is so silent. It is a miracle done by a true master. In fact, the true master of the world. And yet that power that it is on display here in this very quiet way, unseen way, is given to the people through the disciples. And I think this may be why one of the reasons why this miracle was such a favorite, apparently, of the disciples, that it made it into all four Gospels, that Jesus is wielding his power, but he's doing it through the disciples. When they come to Jesus and say, "Send them away, send the crowds away because it's getting late, and so they can go to the villages and buy themselves food," he doesn't say to them, "Oh, they don't need to go away. I'm going to feed them." He says, "You give them something to eat." Of course, it's Jesus' power that makes this miracle take place, but the power only comes through the disciples' obedience, through their taking up the responsibility, through their going out and beginning to hand out what little they have in their hands. It's a power of Jesus, but it's coming out and being used through the disciples. And I suspect that this was something that they reminded themselves of repeatedly. What can we really do? What do we really have? So many of us feel like we don't have much to offer. And yet what this story tells us, what this miracle reminds us, is that that's enough. That it's the power of Jesus that will work in us to make our little bit enough. Very often before I preach, I often will pray, I'll ask God, referring to this miracle, I ask Him to take what little I have and to make it enough to feed whoever is here on a Sunday morning. What little I have to offer, a sermon is more than just some stories or some interesting facts, or it's more even than just a Bible study. A sermon is meant to lead you in some way to follow Christ more closely. And that's something that I cannot claim to know how to do, because you're all different, you all have different situations. But I trust that God knows. And so I offer up in the words of a children's Bible we used to read to our kids, and his words now burned in our heads, my little lunch. I'm just a little boy with just a little lunch. But you, Lord, can make it enough to accomplish your purposes today. I think the disciples constantly remembered that. For they were sent out, weren't they? Not long after this event, and just maybe a year or two, they would be sent out. After Jesus had died on the cross and then risen from the grave, he would say, "Now it's your turn. You go out. Just as the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you. You go out and tell the good news." How in the world did they possibly feel that they were able to do that? Most of these people were uneducated. They were fishermen, most of them. And they meant nothing in the eyes of the world. And yet we hear that they go to the ends of the earth proclaiming the good news in power. They had their little bit, but it was God's power that was at work in them. That's what God promised them. And that's what they witnessed and what they took part in as they were involved in this miracle. The same for us. It is a miracle that reminds us that whatever little bit we have, whatever little tiny bit we have, is enough in Jesus' hands. That He can receive it, and He can make it enough to accomplish His purpose. The hero of this story, and John brings out this detail more, is this little boy. We don't know anything about or whether he offered his lunch or it was taken from him. Five loaves and two fish seems to be a lot for a little boy, but we all know growing boys. But he is the hero. It's because he had that little bit that everyone was able to eat, because Jesus got his hands on it. The same is true for us. We don't have much to offer. Some of us may have more than others, but none of it's very much. None of it's enough, except that Jesus can take it and has promised to make it enough to accomplish His purposes in our lives. So every one of us, therefore, has enough. That's why disciples loved this story so much. And it's enough, but it's even more than enough. There's an abundance here that's kind of ridiculous. He takes these five loaves and two fish, and it says that that they distributed after he blessed it and broke it. They all ate, it says in verse 20. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. I mean, Jesus doesn't just give them a little snack for the road. You know, here, just has a little bit to just tide you over. No, no, he gives them more than enough. He gives them an abundance. They all ate and were satisfied. One thing you have to appreciate is at this time, in this place, in ancient Israel, where Jesus was speaking and doing this, most people were poor. Over 90% of the population were poor. Not just not rich, but poor. And there were probably only a couple times a year, maybe, that they ever ate till they were satisfied. They ever ate until they were full. Most times they were just getting by. They were subsistence farmers. They were living, as we would say, paycheck to paycheck. Barely making men's eat, if they ever, making men's eat meat if they ever met at all. This was a significant moment. It was like a feast. They ate till they were satisfied. It was like Christmas Day. An abundance of blessing is what Jesus offered them. And at the end, there's leftovers. And the disciples, it says, gathered up all the broken pieces, all that was left over, and they had 12 basketfuls, one for each of the disciples. As there were 12 disciples, 12 apostles, and 12 baskets. That's more than they started with. They wound up at the end with more than they even began with. This is a miracle of abundance. We're reminded that Jesus doesn't just give enough. That God delights to pour out His blessings in abundance for us. It's not always the abundance we may want. It's not always, He doesn't always answer all of our needs. But He is rich in His grace, rich in His bounty. He does not fail to provide and to bless those whom He calls to follow Him. It's a miracle of great and wonderful abundance. Of course, in this miracle, Jesus is also giving Himself. It is a remarkable display of His character. Here He is wanting to get away and be alone with His disciples. The crowd changes those plans, and yet it says He had compassion on them. Luke will say, or Mark will say, that he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Likens His compassion for the people who meet Him on this other side of the lake. Likens them to sheep, and Jesus sees Himself as their shepherd. But here, Matthew tells us He has compassion. And even though He was trying to get away from all the healing and all the teaching for a bit, He enters into it again and spends the entire day doing that. The compassion of Jesus is on display here. He didn't have to be compassionate, certainly. I mean, He didn't tell the people to come. They came unprepared. They did not come ready for a long trip. They were hasty, and they ran over there just to see Jesus with no thought of taking care of themselves and their families. So they were all caught. He could have turned that into a lesson. Instead, He has compassion for them and feeds them even abundantly. There's another way that Jesus is offering Himself here. And that is, as in the familiar words that describe what He does with the food that He is given. It says there in verse 19, after directing the people to sit down on the grass, taking the five loaves and the two fish, He looked up to heaven. Looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate. And in those words, and this may be another reason why this miracle was remembered and included in all four Gospels. We see something, a sort of foreshadowing, if you will, of what we're about to do in remembering Jesus' death for us. He took bread, and just as he would on the Last Supper, he gave thanks. He said grace. It's a typical and proper Jewish custom. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples give them on, and they all ate. And so on that last night, Jesus will break bread. He will give it to his disciples, and he will say, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Jesus is offering himself there in that place, that solitary place. He is offering himself, offering his compassion, offering his power, offering his abundance, his generosity to all who have gathered to hear him, looking for healing or looking for something for themselves. He gives himself. No doubt the disciples saw in this the foreshadowing of what he would do one day when he would give himself not only in the sacrament that we are about to celebrate, but as he was crucified and his body was truly broken for us. This miracle kind of demonstrates Jesus' commitment to giving himself to the masses, giving himself to us. Such power, as hidden as it is wielded through the disciples, people like us who follow Jesus, and results in such abundance as Jesus gives himself to the world. It is what it is to be a disciple, isn't it? And that's why this miracle is so powerful and so well remembered and obviously well loved. Amen.